Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Life Coach Radio Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Andrea Ruckelman, your host of today's Super Soul Recap Show. We're going to start off today by recapping Oprah's Part 1 interview with best-selling author and spiritual teacher Ayanna Van Zandt, and how she was able to find peace among the broken pieces of her life, and how she uses her life lessons to help others in crisis. What we're also going to do is really share on how you could take some of those lessons that Ayanna Van Zandt has learned in her life, and how you could apply them to yours as well. So what I'd like to do here first is introduce my co-host for the day before I give you a little bit of information about myself. And first we have Tim Billiter. Hi, Tim. How are you today?
Good, Andrea. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for asking. The thing that you all should know about Tim, he is the owner of the DYI for Your Soul. He is a New York City-based certified life and life purpose coach, and his mission is to assist people in developing thought processes and practical skills to move through life with much more ease and grace. Tim helps his clients realize that who they are, who they really are, is far greater than they understand themselves to be, that they are never really alone nor disconnected from their source. And because of this, they possess far more power than they've likely ever been taught or imagined they have. He works with his clients to tap into that inner knowledge and to develop their full potential to build the life that they desire. Sounds awesome, Tim, and I'm really glad to have you here and getting the chance to work with you today.
Thanks so much.
Also,
I'm very excited.
Well, great. Also joining us is Veronica Taylor. Hello, Veronica, from the West Coast. So I'll say good morning to you.
Yes, good morning to everybody.
Let me give you a little bit of information about Veronica. She is a leadership coach and the founder of Life Leaders Coaching. She's a designated three-step coaching process, which I love the sound of this. Discover, grow, and sustain. This supports her clients through leadership transformation in order to ensure long-term success in all aspects of their life. Experienced working in a global environment, Veronica is a fluent Spanish speaker who approaches coaching from a global perspective, often integrates Buddhist practice of mindfulness into her work. That's fabulous. So that just makes it mean that this is going to be a nice, calming environment as we speak today. So thank you for joining us, Veronica. And glad we get to work together again. So let me just give you all about information of me. Like I said, my name is Andrea Ruckelman. I am the founder of New Perspectives Communication. I started this company because after years of witnessing the effects of activist cultures that resulted in the abusive, retaliatory behavior, I thought there was more opportunity to really show companies how wonderful they could be if they chose to be more of a responsive organization that allows leaders to inspire, employees to grow, and ultimately their profits to increase. I don't only partner with companies, I also like to work with individuals who want a new perspective on how they communicate with others as well as themselves. Often we bully ourselves out of our own success. I'm here to help individuals stop doing that. Little fun tidbits. After our call today, I'm about to go on a 9-mile run because I consider myself an avid runner, which maybe not so avid, but training for always training something. I'm a snowboarder, very, very slowly progressing golfer, and I'm about to start learning how to surf this upcoming week when I take my trip to Hawaii. So aloha. I'd just like to invite all of our listeners, if they want to participate, they want to share any thoughts that they had during this interview, please call in. Give us a call at 646-716-9397. Share with us your experience on what it was, maybe face a challenge. also reach us in our chat room if you are a subscriber to Blog Talk Radio. And you can find us on Twitter. We'll continue on with the Super Soul Sunday hashtag, and we'll be tweeting what I like to say, tweetable moments. And you could follow us at Coach Host Radio. Okay? So, enough of that with introductions. Let's kick off this conversation. Powerful. Very, very, very powerful. And some of the things that I really think about is when she talks about the lesson to pause. Mm. When Ayana talked about that all things are lessons that God would have us learn, it's something that is so true, because when we think about the fact of everything in life is really a lesson that you learn, and there are no mistakes. There's no right or wrong. There's only choices that you have. And with the way she was applying it, everything that she said, my favorite quote of hers that you'll probably hear over and over again is, facing the truth is hard and it's painful as hell, but the truth will set you free, but you have to endure the labor pains of birthing it. Tim, what do you think, and how do you think that she felt that she was going through this whole process herself?
You know, it is, facing your truth is hard. You know, it's work that many people do and that some people sort of avoid because it's so hard. It's work that I've actually done on myself. And, you know, it is hard and it is painful. She's right, and it can be as painful as hell. And people who've listened to me on, you know, past radio shows will probably get tired of hearing me use this analogy, but I go back to it over and over again because I just feel like it's the one that really, really puts it in perspective for me, at least. And that is, you know, if we tomorrow, any one of us, were to go and do some sort of new physical activity, whether it be to the gym or ride a horse or ride a bicycle, something that we've never, ever done before, and we're doing it for the purpose of bettering ourselves, getting ourselves in shape, you know, getting ourselves a little stronger, becoming a little more healthy, the next day you're going to get up, and you're going to be in pain. I can almost guarantee it. You're going to be in some sort of pain. That's not the same pain as if you've hurt yourself. It's a good pain. It's a pain that shows that you are doing something for yourself. It is showing that you are building something in your body. It's a growing pain is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of pain that you really want in your life. It's the things that propels you to move forward. Because if you face that pain of working out and you go back to it and you keep doing it, you're going to get stronger. And you're not going to have that pain any longer. You're going to go through it. And it's not going to rule you any longer. I loved the idea that, you know, everything is a lesson. So many of us in life go through life thinking that we wish we could just get rid of all the bad things that ever happened to us. We wish we could just keep from anything from bad from ever happening to us at all. Or we don't like this portion of ourselves. Or we don't like this thing that happened to us in our childhood. Or, you know, we don't like the choices that we made and the consequences that came with it. You could go through example after example. And, you know, I kind of took notes as I was doing this, and the thing with pause, and I love the idea of pausing. What I thought she was saying is you have to pause and you have to either connect with life itself or connect with your source or connect with your true self or the universe or God or however you want to see it, but you have to stop and connect with it momentarily, because if you don't, you take the ability of yourself to learn from your past mistakes or from what's happened, and then you just keep doing the same things over and over again, and you keep making the same mistakes over and over again. You know, in the 12-step world, they say, do what you always done, get what you always got. You know, so my takeaway really from it was, is, you know, don't run from your past, learn from it. You know, don't deny your past self. It made you who you are now. But don't think for 1 minute that the past defines you or your future, and that you can't really recreate yourself anew, because you can, always and in all ways.
Wow, thanks, Tim. I love some of the great things that you said there. It's a good pain. It's a building pain. It's a learning pain that you have. And that's what's so great about understanding this. Too often, we as individuals want to go and get results immediately. It's the building blocks that we hate so much to face. But when you when you those and you learn through the whole process, if you stop yourself in the beginning before you make that same decision you've made over and over and over again, and you say, what could I do different times? You learn again. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So when you pause and connect, it's great things that I agree when you the way she has said it, be a different way of figuring it out. You know, if you think you're always doing something that's wrong, you have that opportunity to look back and say, maybe it wasn't wrong. Maybe it was a lesson I needed to learn. Veronica, as you know, as we think about this, the pause and the reflect, in a leadership role, what is the best way people gain from that pause, connect, see what I've done, I could do differently, and how do I change it?
Yeah, I think Pin really hit the nail right on the head, meaning that, you know, a lot of us feel this sense of trying to remove ourselves from what is painful. And in our society also, we are taught to want things very quickly. It's all instant gratification. And we forget of how important that space, that pause, really is to our personal development or growth. And, you know, with the three-step process that I have, which is the discover, grow, and sustain, what I really have discovered throughout the years is that in-between moment, that space is so sacred between the discover and the grow process. There is that space of mindfulness where you really have to be in tune with who you are in that moment. And when I say that, in tune with who you are, be conscientious of what you're experiencing in your head, in your analytical head, your heart, which is your emotions, and how it's manifesting in your body, which goes through the actions. And what I tell my clients is that within that space between the discover stage and the growth, there's the struggle. And that struggle is where all the beauty really lies. Because it's not something that we need to chuck away and just not think about and run away from. It's part of the journey where all your answers are and where you're really learning about who you are in that flow between the head, heart, and body. And embrace that. And I know it's extremely painful. We've all experienced it as coaches. And we all experience it in life. It's inevitable. But just embrace that space of the struggle. And it's nothing that we have to be afraid of. It's just part of the journey. So I'm very in tune within that space with my clients, but we have to really just embrace it and feel that moment in that space. And then just once we've actually honored it, because I think that's where people get really stuck, is when they're avoiding it and they don't honor that struggle and actually feel it and then release it. And that is where the sustainability really becomes, you know, it becomes something that is attainable now. So my clients or listeners, it's just that struggle, that time in that place that you have to really just be there, honor it, and then let it go.
Wow. That's excellent. I love that whole mindfulness of really understanding where you are. And what I always think about is that when people struggle with that whole concept of hearing yourself in the moment, it is a process that takes a lot of time to help you prevent going through the same thing over and over again. And as I was having this discussion with somebody the other day, is that, you know, you could talk about, oh, here's an easy three-step process. Absolutely, it's easy, but it takes time. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if you're making this decision over and over again in a conversation, let's say you're in a work environment and your boss comes over to you and tells you that he or she didn't like what you had written that needs to go to be published. So the whole thing of it is that you take it personally and you get defensive about it. but it's really not about you. It's about the work in general. Or let's say it's a loved one, right? A loved one that you are in a relationship with, that you end up having the same fight over and over again. The communication, there's a miss, and you just don't understand why the other individual is what you believe to be doing, attacking you. But in their mind, they're not. They're trying to help point something out to you in a way that would help the both of you communicate better and understand. And so when you go through this process, it's usually that feeling of guilt. And I love how this will be a segue into our next conversation of the overcoming the guilt aspect. Always do what was done. So let's think of it this way. You get into that argument, see it coming, but you and you say to yourself, here we go again, and you get defensive. But by the end of that conversation, hours later, days later, you start feeling guilty about the conversation you had and you should have done it differently. How could I have done it? Over time, you will keep doing that. You will make the mistake of realizing it after the but maybe it doesn't take a couple days. Maybe it's a couple hours. Maybe then it becomes something immediately after the conversation. And then eventually it'll happen during the conversation and you'll be able to stop that defensive talk. And then maybe as you're in the middle of that conversation, when you stop, you'll start to change the way you're going with that conversation. Instead of getting defensive of, why do you do that to me? You know, how dare you? Or that's not what I was saying. You'll come at it in a way of saying, I think what I'm doing is miscommunicating my point to you. And have more of a conversation and dialogue where tempers stay cold. And then eventually there'll come the time of where you see it coming, but you know ahead of time. So you know how to prevent that same type of conversation that happens over and over again. And so that's the way I have always looked at these lessons that are learned and how it changes the relationships that you have, whether it be in the workplace, family, friends, really seeing what it is. And that is that mindfulness that you talked about, Veronica, of how people are really tuning in with themselves and who they are and understanding, which also ties back to that pain that you feel of going through this process that Tim discussed about. It's a good pain because you're growing and you're learning. And eventually will help you get away from that guilty feeling in the end, as we were saying. And sometimes, and one of the great quotes that she had talked about was how people, guilt is my drug of choice. How often, and Veronica, I'd like for you to kind of start in this discussion about guilt as a drug of choice. And when people keep heeding this because always do what was always done to you. I love how she was talking about that her and Oprah were having a conversation about you do what your mother was done. I don't ever want to be like my mother. How many times have we all said that? I'm not going to be the same type of parent you were, but you only do it the way that it was done. And sometimes you feel bad about it. So, Veronica, how do you address with individuals the thought of letting go of guilt?
Letting go of guilt, I think what I usually like to do with my clients, it's, and even with myself, I think it was part of that discovery stage where, you know, the guilt that you feel is because you're out of alignment. And I always go back to the experience of the body, and it's like the head, heart, and the head, heart, and the body, and it's like you're obviously, the guilt is because you are off balance, you know, and that's where the discovery really comes in, because you want to learn what your true innate values are to you. And I know that as we are growing up in this society with our families and parents, and then you're so bombarded with so many different things coming at you, so we start taking on things that really don't belong to us. And when we are off of alignment of who we truly are as human beings, as spirits, as, you know, all the things that we are in this world, we feel that guilt. And it's because you're off of alignment with who you truly are. So the discovery really is of trying to find out who Tim is, who Veronica is, who is Andrea. And aside from any other influence that you've ever had in your life, and it's such a sacred space of finding out who that is. And once you do find who that person is and who you really are, the guilt kind of just dissipates, because now you are back in alignment. You are truly in your one with yourself. And all the influences that come in to your space or into your life, whether it's energy or a person or a situation or a scenario, you can bounce right back very quickly, because you know where your center is. You know what your innate values are and the things that that resonate to you. And no longer do you have to feel like you have to take on expectations or scenarios or situations that really don't belong to you. And I really feel that that's where you can let go of the guilt, once you have literally made peace with who you truly are.
And that, you know, it's very interesting how you talk about people making peace with who they are, because, and Tim, I kind of want you to focus on this part of the subject, because she had made peace with who she was as Rhonda Harris, and burying that self of hers side, that she became at peace and understood that this was not what her purpose was, really. And out came Ayana Van Zandt, and the difference that she's making and the lessons learned and guilt going away. Can you talk a little bit about how she was talking about the guilt in her life and maybe how you see it as beneficial for maybe our listeners to look at it in the aspect of how they can use what she's learned as a change in their life?
Absolutely. And I think that one thing that everybody should realize is that, and for the life of me, remind me again what her real name was.
Rhonda Harris.
Yeah. Rhonda Harris and Ayana Van Zandt were always there. It wasn't Rhonda Harris who became Ayana Van Zandt. Ayana Van Zandt was always there, just as Rhonda Harris is always still there now. And, you know, I think that what we need to do in life always is try and reframe, to put things in different perspective, when we come across everything, including how we view our lives and how we act upon our lives. You know, the reality is that we all see life, or we see our lives, and we see life through the lens of who we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
And additionally, we act out of our beliefs. We act out of our beliefs about ourselves, about our perceived place in life, and about life itself. And it's not always true, and it's not always real. And, you know, if we cannot or refuse to actually change our viewpoint or our perspective and see things from a different way, of course we're going to repeat the same things over and over again. I think that... I lost my train of thought. The guilt thing. I think that guilt is a sort of a symptom of a larger systemic problem, which is shame. And I think that a lot of us go back and look at our lives and what happened in our lives, or what people have told us about ourselves, or what society has told us about ourselves, or our parents, or our religion, or whatever it is that has laid the groundwork for who we think we are, and we feel shame about it. And we want to push that way as far away as we can possibly push it away, because shame is really, really, really painful. And it's not the good kind of pain. It's a destructive type of pain. And, you know, and it's probably not doing us any good at all, because all it does is it keeps us pushing everything away because we don't want to feel it. And if we keep pushing it away, we can't look at it. We can't see it for what it really is. We can't change it. And I'm going to segue back into a little bit and tie this back into the conversation that we were having before. I like Veronica's three-step process. And anybody listens to me, anytime you listen to me, you're going to hear about the 12 steps, because I've been in the 12-step movement for over 20 years. It's one of the foundations of my life philosophy. And one of the things they talk about in the 12-step, or at least the one that I'm in, is that change comes through a three-step process. It's awareness, it's acceptance, and then it's action. And many people try and go directly from awareness to action, and they can't figure out why the change doesn't work. And, you know, it's really sort of following the same steps that Veronica was talking about. You have to hit that acceptance place. And, you know, I've heard people over the years say it's really awareness, acceptance, 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 and then finally action. If you can't truly look at something for what it is, and you can't give yourself time and space and know that you're strong enough to go through the tough times of actually accepting things, you're never really going to change it. And you're going to be stuck with the shame that you have, and you're going to feel guilt.
Yeah, it's, I love how you say you tied it into shame. Shame is something that is... And how often do you see people using that shame and guilt as an excuse, not taking responsibility for their life?
I think every day we see it. I mean, whether it's in a client, a personal client, or just out in the world, we see it every day. I'm sure we do it to a certain extent. I mean, you know, one of the things that I probably say almost every episode, but I think it's just so important for everybody to understand, as coaches, we're not gurus. We're not people who are sitting, you know, 2 feet above the ground in the lotus position because we figured it all out. We're human beings too. We have all of our past and all of our baggage, and we're working on it just as everybody else is working on it. And if you're a good coach, you're working on it consciously. So I see it every day. I see it in my job. I see it in relationships. I see it, you know, in myself. I see it at the grocery store. I see it everywhere I go, where people are coming out and they are behaving in certain ways because they're always trying to keep that shield up around them to protect themselves so that nobody ever sees what they feel ashamed about.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, how you say you see it everywhere, every day. And, you know, the one thing that people spend most of their with is with family at home, or they're in a workplace with coworkers. And have you ever noticed how sometimes an individual will make certain comments and then they feel so guilty about it and they feel shameful that they said something that they overcompensate instead of addressing it? Veronica, how often have you ever noticed that occur in the workplace of where you're at?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? You broke up a little bit.
Oh, my apologies. When people in the workplace make an inappropriate comment to a coworker or a subordinate, or in a room full of people, they feel bad, guilty, shameful for what they say, and instead of addressing the topic, how often do you see people overcompensate their behavior towards others instead of saying, how do I use this to move forward?
You know, I in my experience, I rarely see them overcompensate. Maybe in their own realm, they may try to overcompensate. But what I see a lot, or have seen a lot more of, is they pull back, they retreat, or they just, you know, they avoid. And it's part of, you know, it's, and what I notice is just that they're trying to shy away from that struggle, which is the conversation that needs to be addressed to move forward. But they don't want to experience that. And that's part of the vulnerability that really needs to come forward. And, you know, especially in a corporate environment, nobody wants to be vulnerable. Nobody wants to talk about the elephant in the room. Which is interesting because everybody wants progress and prosperity and everybody should have the same objective, but if nobody really digs into the actual issue or the problem, then it's just never going to go away. So what I see is just usually people retreating a lot and pulling back. And it usually manifests also when they do have to engage, it's aggressive or controlling or being pushy. So that they feel more, that is more comfortable than the vulnerability part, if that makes sense.
It makes complete sense, and thank you for sharing that. Because you're right, in some aspects, it's not necessarily that people in the work overcompensate for what they do, but you're right, they may retreat because they become fearful of what might occur if they say anything again. So, but that's what I'm talking about, the extreme from one to the other, that they can't find their gray in the middle, and they can't find their comfort zone because of the guilt that they have and the choices that they make or what they've learned throughout their life of what they do as it relates to that. And I will say that if you do that at the workplace, you'll do that at home. And and Tim, you know, if you would just mind jumping in on some of this, when I talk about that, people can do this at home as well, as how they treat family members or friends, and they don't know how to, as you have put it, you know, tap into that inner knowledge, develop that full potential of themselves. You know, what do you see are some of those moments that are helpful for our listeners that you share with them? What is a typical moment that gives someone that opportunity to see that change, and how can they progress going forward with it?
Oh, a real simple one is any time that you're fighting to be right about something, that you just have to be right, or if you've done something wrong and you refuse to admit it, for some reason, there are a lot of people, and I was one of these people for the longest time, that the idea of being wrong, I think I equated it to being weak. And I have learned so much, and this is probably more than anywhere my in relationships this works, is that admit you're wrong, people. We're wrong. We're wrong sometimes. We don't have to be right all the time. And people actually respect you far more if you can say, you know, I was wrong. I was wrong, and I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I want to jump onto the question that you had asked Veronica, because that used to be me. That used to be me who went into a place, and, you know, for years I worked in the hotel business, and I worked and I took guest requests. And sometimes some of the guests had the nastiest attitudes, and they asked for things that you couldn't possibly give, and I don't know what it was about my personality, but I just could not sometimes just let it go and roll off my back. And then I would sort of get snippy or borderline nasty at times. And then when there would be a time somebody would call me on it, and I would get scared, and I would get immediately scared. And then probably the next 10 people that called, I was so nice and sugary sweet to them, you couldn't stand it. Because I was afraid. I was afraid what the consequences were going to be from my actions, to be perfectly honest with you. And, you know, and I have had times in, you know, that was years and years ago. I've had times in my current job where I've done so much better in those instances. But there's times when I can just, you know, you catch me at a bad time and I'm not the nicest person in the world. But what I've learned, and it kind of ties into learning to say you're wrong, is that if I go back to somebody after I've either made a mistake or I said something that wasn't nice or whatever, I did this to a woman, I snapped at her about something. 2 days later, I went into her office and I said to her, I came to apologize for you for my tone towards you. And she started to stop me. You don't need to do this. And I just looked at her and I said, no, you do not deserve that. You did not deserve that. You do not deserve it. You deserve to be treated with respect. No matter what I'm trying to tell you, you deserve to be treated with respect. I can tell you that that woman is probably nicer to me now than she ever was before. Mm-hmm. Simply because I owned my bad behavior.
And that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing your personal experience. It's very easy for us to talk about it and tell people, you know, what it's about, but it's the sharing of the personal experience that lets people know that this does happen to us. We're not just here to talk about it as radio show hosts and tell people how they make these changes and how great Jana Van Zandt is, but it's really about how do you. And you said that I equate being wrong to being weak. I can't find one person that is either in a high-level business position or trying to move up or state claim someplace that feels the same way. And at some point in time in my life, I know that I felt the same thing, that I had to be right, had to prove myself to someone in order to have that approval of I'm good enough for something. And it's when you let go of that and you start to tell people, I made a mistake, I was incorrect, this is something that I want to learn from, and I have you to thank for it. People will look at you like you have six heads if you say to them, thank you for helping me learn a lesson, and I have you to thank for this. In a sense, they think something's strange, but at the same time, they feel some relief, and they feel appreciation for you and what you have done for them. And talk about setting an example of inspiration for others, as leadership, as motivation for to say that it's okay to be this way. Because if you are a leader, guess what? People know what your weaknesses are anyway. So if it's about not admitting that you're wrong, they already know that that's a weakness, that you have a weakness there.
Yeah, and who likes anybody that's always right?
What do you mean, you don't?
And I think that's also a really great point of, you know, not just apologizing to the person that you may have come across to them in a wrong way, but it's about honoring them. But as you're doing that, you're also honoring yourself. And when you do that and you really think about honoring that person, and as you're honoring them and you're honoring yourself, you create that space that we talked about, and you create bond. You meet them at that vulnerability level, which creates what we all want, which is bond, love, and acceptance. And all of a sudden, this relationship that Tim said, you know, all of a sudden, you guys are connecting at a greater level, at a deeper level. If we all learn to do that and retract and honor ourselves and that person, you are creating the most beautiful connection with every single person, whether it's a spouse, whether it's your colleague, whether it's your boss, whether it's the guy across the street as you pass them through. You know, it's just creating that space of vulnerability and honoring each other. And it takes a split second to do. And when what Tim was saying about going back and apologizing of what you said, I feel like a lot of people have the sense of, oh, I missed my opportunity. I should have said it right away. It's been, you know, a day or 3 hours or a week or a month. And it's like, no, there's no time limit. If you are consciously struggling with that you didn't act accordingly or in favor of yourself, go back and say, you know, remember that time? I'm still thinking about this, and I felt that I wronged you. I wasn't listening. I didn't treat you with the love and respect that you deserve. And people will respond positively to you. So don't feel like there is a moment in time to do that. Honoring someone and yourself can happen at any moment. And we all owe it to ourselves and each other.
I think Veronica is absolutely right. And I think, additionally, it goes back to the guilt and the shame thing. I know that there were times in my life that, you know, I knew that my behavior was wrong. I knew that it was not the person that I wanted to be. And I was so ashamed of the fact that I had behaved that way that now I went back into that place where I just wanted to push that shame away. And for me to actually admit that I was wrong and go talk to that person had to make me deal with my shame. And I didn't want to deal with my shame. And the thing that I had to learn along the way was that by doing something wrong doesn't mean that I am wrong. It just means I did something wrong. And if I can see it that way and approach it that way, I have a much better chance of rectifying it than if I assume that it's just because I'm wrong to begin with.
It's so true. You're both head on with what you have to say. And you know what? It actually brings up for me that I would love to challenge our listeners, whether you're listening live or going to listen to this recording, no matter what point in time you could remember it today, next week, or next month, I want to challenge our listeners to share with us a time of when they admitted something and admitted that they were being wrong and apologized to someone. So I want them to share with us on our Twitter page at Coach Post Radio. That's our Twitter handle. And I want them to use the hashtag #IAdmitIt. Let us know when you've been wrong about a situation. Will be individual. That you were wrong. That when you in your conversation with you were wrong in that. And share with us, I admit it. Maybe we can start a revolution of I admit it on Twitter. As we're moving forward in our show today, I just want to share a couple of things with our listeners about what's coming up later today at 2 p.m. Eastern Sister Station, International Life Coach Radio, which you can find here on Blog Talk Radio Network. It's going to be part two of the Super Soul Sunday Recap Show. So as we part one here, you can find the rest of it at 2 p.m. on our sister station, International Life Coach Radio. Tomorrow, July 29th, 8 p.m., all these times I will say, or Eastern Standard Time, is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. On Monday, July 30th at 9 p.m. is Life Coach Chat. Embracing Progress Over Perfection. Maybe a show I'll listen into. Moving forward is always better than having to be perfect. I admit that. And then on Tuesday, July 31st at 12 p.m. is Life Coach Chat, Living Your Authentic You. Our Life Coach Chats are available for you to call in and get some free coaching, so give a listen to there. And just wanted to remind anybody who's listening right now, give us a call at 646-716-9397 as we're about to tackle our last topic. If there's anything you want to share with us or admit out loud to just get it off your better about an experience that you've had or something that is on your mind about admitting when you were wrong, getting over the guilt, allowing yourself to be who you really want to be, or any of the other areas that Ayana had discussed on the show. One of the last topics I really want to focus on is when Oprah and Ayana were talking about discovering why they are where they are and discovering self-awareness. And Ayana had discussed the way to understand what the past gave you is to look at your patterns. You know, if you really want to know why you're doing the things you do, look at the patterns that you have. You know, do you feel you're lying your way through life because you're afraid to miss the truth? And it still goes on with our conversation of being wrong is to be seen being weak. But think about how strong you could become when you say the truth. She even said it, you have to say the truth. And when I always think about when people lie, I often wonder, when they lie to themselves, how often do they believe their own lies? Mm-hmm. You see it quite often that you hear someone, and when they say this, it's like, how can you believe that this is coming out of your mouth while you're saying it at the same time? So, Tim, you know, what are some things that you've seen that people focus on, and they end up lying to themselves that they don't believe their own lies? You know, talk about this. How can people stop doing that?
Well, I think that you have a one-word answer for that, and I'll expand on that one word. But the one-word example is denial. You know, I think denial is a tool that we put into place to protect us from pain. And, you know, and if the truth is too painful, then we'll lie about it. We will tell ourselves what we want to hear about it because we don't want to deal with the pain. And we don't want to deal with the perceived pain. You know, a lot of the times I can tell you in my past, before I really got into my own self-discovery and things, you know, until I really started doing the work on myself, I spent my time, you know, being so afraid that somebody was going to find out who I really was. You know, they were going to see through the facade that I was trying to put up to come across as a confident, you know, nice, likable, wonderful person, and not really believing it myself, but, you know, putting that facade out. And, you know, the idea that somebody was going to discover that I had flaws, that just seemed like I would never recover from that. things happen to us all. Things happen to me in my life. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and recount my entire story to everybody. You know, that could be another time when I have a lot more time and it's me by myself, which I don't know how many people want to listen to that, but, you know, I built this story about myself. And, you know, I have a philosophy, and I've said it a lot. I call it my own personal mythology. It's a story I tell myself about myself and my place in life. And a lot of it's not so great, because a lot of people didn't tell me great things about myself. I mean, it wasn't at the time. I've soon learned that I can rewrite my story, that I don't have to stick to the old one, although a lot of times I spent forever defending the story that I had and just repeating the same things over and over. What I learned was that I had to face the denial. I had to look at my past. I had to look at what people said. You know, I had to look at the past but not stare at it. I didn't want to tether myself to it. But I had to be honest. I had to get honest and start truly looking at myself and looking at the things that I liked about myself, the things I didn't like about myself, the things that were true, the things that weren't true, the things that I could change, the things that I couldn't change, and start putting it all into a perspective and start, you know, it goes back to that acceptance thing. I had to start accepting it, because if I couldn't accept it, I couldn't change it.
Wow. So you really went through a long process of doing this. And Tim, how long did it take you in your life to really go through this whole process? Because it's not something that occurs overnight.
Oh, absolutely not. I started in, I mean, the 12-step world is supposed to be anonymous, but, you know, it's my choice. I started in the program of Al-Anon for for family members and friends and people who've been affected by the disease of alcoholism. I started in October of 1991, and I still go. And, you know, you could just watch my life. I can go back and start giving you pinpoints from year after year after year of how I gradually started to change and how I gradually started to see life differently and how I gradually allowed people in and how I gradually allowed myself to make mistakes and, you know, and grieve those mistakes and choose something different until I got it over. I mean, I'm still a work in progress. This is a never-ending process. I will be at this until the day I die and probably after that. I believe my purpose and all of our purpose here is to evolve. It's to become a greater version of ourselves than we are right now. And there's always something greater and grander to go to.
Thank you. And I agree that it's a forever learning process that never stops. Veronica, has this ever played a role in your life or those that you surround yourself with?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think every single person on this planet has experienced that. How can you not? You know, and it's part of our learning experience and journey through the struggle. And it, I think Tim kind of said that earlier, you know, the shame and the anger, it's just a symptom of something bigger and greater going on within you. You know, it's that war that you're having internally from who you really, really, truly are and what you are trying to be or manifest from that story that you think that you should be or should be doing. And, you know, the people when they're trying to hold on so hard on that life story or the way that they think they are or they should be or the way that they think people should treat them, it also, the symptoms that I also see aside from the denial and trying to keep the pain away is entitlement and lack of accountability. And if you really look at that entitlement and lack of accountability, really what is that is wrapped around the ego. And it's really about what your perception of what you think you should be or how people should see you. And it's just the story that we're telling ourselves. And we're trying so hard to hold on to that. And it manifests through the denial and the anger and the stories we tell about ourselves and the entitlement of, oh, why doesn't this person treat me with respect? I deserve better. And it's all based around I. And that is what keeps us moving forward, is that entitlement, that denial, and that anger. So it serves us. It's working for us because it fuels us. However, what kind of fuel do you really want in your life? Is it going to be that dark, red, angry fuel, or is it going to be that flowing, easygoing, you know, uplifting energy? And once we do that is when we really, really need to look in and see, okay, what am I in denial about? Why am I so entitled? Where's my accountability on this? And when we start looking within, we really can let go of the level one, and I know maybe our listeners don't understand level one, level two, but it's that anger, that egotistical energy that, you know, we've been holding on to for so long. And for some of us, that's all we know until we really start looking in within and finding that accountability. How am I contributing to this? And how is it serving me?
And to add to that, which I think is one of the great things that people don't understand that they do, how much power are you giving to your individual that you're facing this challenge within yourself? If you feel that you have to be right over someone else, how much power are you giving them to say that they're the person you need to prove yourself to? And why do you need to prove yourself to that individual? Why do they make you so angry? If someone isn't sharing your values, well, what is the difference if they do or they don't? It's just they're a different person. Not everybody can be you, because if everybody was you, this world would be a very boring place. And it's this that people challenge you in so many different ways. You know, Ayana went through so many challenges in her life between her mother, her father, what she went through with her child, and, you know, how she put herself through law school, got out of the ghetto, ended up, and how she all of that, instead of being angry with the world, accepted it for what it was to get her today. And acceptance, powerful tools we as individuals can have ourselves. Accept ourselves for who we are, become who we want to be, and take those lessons of who we are, help us to get to who we want. So as we're closing in on the end of the show, and what a powerful conversation this was, and I thank you both for sharing so much with me, I'd like to just really close off our show and start with you, Tim, that if you have any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners, and if anything that you've said has resonated with them and they'd like to get in touch with you, please share with us all the avenues in which our listeners can reach out to you.
Thank you, and it really has been a really powerful conversation. I'm so glad to have been a part of it. I think that the overall message that I took from it was that the past is important. The past will teach us. It's brought us to where we are. It will teach us. But we don't have to be our past, and we don't have to relive our past over and over again. And if we do not see that, and we do not, and we're not willing to challenge our beliefs and our past actions, and, you know, and our ideas about the world, then it's going to be not a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's going to be a self-fulfilling travesty. Mm-hmm. And there's no need for that. Do the work. Be brave. Have courage. Be ready for a little pain. And know that, you know, there's always greater heights to get to. I actually will be on the air on the 30th. You mentioned that show, the Learning to See Progress Over Perfection. That is the 30th of July, and that is myself and Carrie Spaulding and Bobby Anderson. And if you want to reach me, you can reach me via email at info@diyforyoursoul.com. That's info@diyforyoursoul.com. You can go to my website, which is diyforyoursoul.com. You can reach me on Twitter. I would love you to follow me on Twitter. That is @TimBilliter. Again, @TimBilliter. And then my Facebook page is facebook.com/TimBilliterLifeCoach. So you got lots of ways to reach me.
And Tim, can you please spell your last name for our listeners too?
Absolutely. B as in boy, I-L-L-I-T-E-R.
Excellent. Because us East Coast people with our fast speaking tones could almost come across as saying Tim Builder.
Probably so.
And thank you so much for everything that you shared with us today. I really appreciated the time to get to be on the air with you for this show, and look forward to hearing what your show is on the 30th. That sounds absolutely incredible, another powerful type of topic. And Veronica,
thank you so much.
And Veronica, please share with us your final thoughts on everything that we've discussed today and how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, my final thoughts, I feel what I really want our listeners to embrace would be to really, really embrace that space of the struggle, that it's not there to work against us, it's there to serve us. And as we experience that, that's really where we really need to be for us to actually grow and move forward. And Tim said it great, our past is not our enemy unless we honor it. And we have to honor it and acknowledge it and let it go. So don't shy away from the pain. The pain is actually the good part. It's the beauty in the process, and it's part of the journey. And people can definitely reach me at my website, which is lifeleaderscoaching.com. I have a wonderful resource page there if you're interested about wisdom and mindfulness, which is huge for my practice. I use that a lot. So for listeners who really want to learn about mindfulness, there's that great resource page on my website. And again, that's lifeleaderscoaching.com. Also, I'm at Facebook. It's Life Leaders Coaching. If anybody's interested in liking that page, there's a lot of great positive affirmations, which is vital for our growth and vitality and moving forward. And my next radio show, the dates are definitely to be determined, but I'd love to let our listeners know that if they are Spanish speakers or have friends and family members who feel more comfortable with the Spanish language, that there is going to be a show starting in our sister radio network, which is International Life Coach Radio Network, where it will be solely in Spanish. So I'm very, very excited about that.
That's excellent. Congratulations. And that's going to be wonderful.
Thank you.
So, and again, thank you both for being here today. The closing thought that I like to focus on is embrace it all. Embrace the change. Embrace despair. Embrace truth. The truth is what people like so much here. Realize when you see truth, all that you have around you is truth. And that will help you move forward to be who you want to be. And it is a process. Give up on the process. Time, as Tim said, many years. So, and as about myself, I'd just like to share that if you're ever interested in trying to communicate differently within yourself or with others, I can be reached at Andrea at New Perspectives Communication.com. My website is my company's name, New Perspectives Communication. You could also find my name or find my Twitter handle, which is at How You Say It. And just so you know that our Life Coach Radio Network has our own, which you can find that at Life Coach Radio Network on Facebook. So do a search find us there. And coming soon, we'll have a website, so more to follow about that. For our listeners, I hope you enjoyed the past hour and you found our conversation engaging, enlightening, or focused on a path to getting to where you want to be. Life is short, you only get a shot at it, so make sure you're enjoying all of it, your time in it, experiencing it. The next time that I will be on Life Coach Network is beginning August 8th. Every second and fourth Thursday of every month, you can tune in to hear me going off onto my own, and my show will be called Perspective with Andrea Ruckelman. So the first show that you will hear on August 8th at 7 p.m. And until then, thank you both, and everyone have a wonderful rest of the day. Take care.